Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Hey, it's Espo back to tell you about our friends at DraftKings, and basketball season won't be around forever. So get in on all the action now with DraftKings, the leader in one-day fantasy sports. DraftKings is giving new players a free shot at $1 million. That's right, $1 million in total prizes. Claim your shot at millions of dollars in total prizes when you use the code TBPN during sign-up. That's code TBPN. Playing daily fantasy basketball is simple. Just pick your lineup, stay under the salary cap, and see your team stack up against the competition. Feel the sweat like never before. Every dunk, steal, assist mean so much more when you're playing DraftKings Daily Fantasy. It is unbelievable how much more you enjoy a random Kings Clippers game on a Wednesday evening or a Nets Knicks matchup, whatever you're watching. I mean, it could be even worse. It could be like the Magic and somebody, like the Magic and Rockets. It makes it more fun to play with DraftKings Daily Fantasy Sports and their fantasy lineup for basketball. So download the DraftKings app now and use the code TBPN during signup. This week, DraftKings is putting you in the action with a free shot at millions of dollars in total prizes. The code TBPN and you can get a free shot at millions of dollars in total prizes with DraftKings. Minimum $5 deposit required. Eligibility restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com for details.
Tonight's matchup on the solar panel, Espo versus the Silver Fox versus Carmel Thunder.
Hello and welcome everybody into another edition of the solar panel. It's a midweek stimmy edition. I'm your host, Greg Esposito. Ahoy, hoy. And we've got a little bit of a different solar panel for you this week. Dave King, the Silver Fox, as I lovingly refer to him, most of the time lovingly, sometimes it's a joke, at his expense, had a chance to sit down with Suns backup point guard Cameron Payne for a one-on-one that was just too good to not share with you guys in its full entirety. So, Dave, you know, you guys know, and I'm not telling you anything that if you listen to this show, you aren't aware of, but I like to give Dave a hard time. And I have for well over a decade now. We are Twitter rivals. We have gone back and forth with each other on this show. But I got to tell you, this is one of the best things I've heard Dave do. A truly interesting, insightful interview where he's at ease in a way that is fantastic. And he gets Campaign to open up in a way that I haven't heard either. So, you know, Saul and I hope you enjoy this Dave solo episode with Suns backup point guard Campaign.
All right, Cam, thank you so much for giving me some of your time. I know you guys got a tight schedule and all that. I appreciate
it. It's all good. Appreciate the opportunity.
Sure, sure. So you are back in Oklahoma City right now, back where it all started.
Back where it all started.
So you had a obviously, let's go back to, I kind of want to go back to the beginning and forward to now, because you talk about today's games all the time. So I want to kind of go back a little bit. When you got drafted in 2015, you were one pick right after Devin Booker.
Yeah.
And right before Kelly Oubre, who didn't play with you guys, but was on the, obviously with the team last summer in the bubble. What, like when you were drafted, what were you, how did that night go? What were you thinking on where you went and going to the Thunder and all that?
The man, the first thing that came to mind that I got drafted was like I looked at my dad, I said, man, we gotta guard Russell Westbrook every day in practice. And he was like, Yeah, well, it'll make you a better player. I was like, yeah, for sure. But that was kind of like the first thing that came to mind, like, man, Kevin Durant and Russ, like you gotta see that every day at practice.
Because we're in their prime.
You said what? They were
in their prime.
Yeah. They were hooping too. And every practice, Russ came at me. So I really credit Russ to my defense abilities now.
Yeah. So that rookie season you played, that was, you played 57 games. You appeared in 10 playoff games. So as a rookie, I was curious, because you've got a lot of teammates now who've never been in the playoffs, and you guys are about to go into the playoffs in a couple of weeks. What was it like for you as a rookie? Like, how different was the playoffs than the regular season, the way we all talk about?
Man, it's just a different kind of atmosphere. It's an unreal atmosphere. It's the loudest place you'll play. I feel like that's in every gym. It's going to be sold out. And the attention to detail is bizarre. The one thing about it is that you learn everything about the team you're playing, and you know every play, you know every little move, and it's all about being good at like the next thing. Like if they take this away, you got to be good at finding something else fast, like being able to adjust quick. And I feel like that's the biggest thing about the playoffs, just adjusting, because they're going to take away the first, second option. It's about how can you get to that third and fourth option that kind of opens the playoffs up for your team. But, I mean, it's a fun experience, unreal experience. I'm be looking forward to it. It's going to be fun down there in Phoenix, though.
I'll bet, man. So you talked about Russell Westbrook a second ago. Now you're playing with Chris Paul. Both those guys are going to be Hall of Famers, but I don't know if there's two different players in the league, more different players in the league than those two at point guard. Am I wrong in that, or are they really just polar opposites in the way they go at it?
I'll probably say a little bit of both. I'll probably say I can meet them in the middle. Like Russ is, well, what I learned from Russ is work ethic. Coming in every day, work your tail off, like work as hard as you can, and you're going to reap the benefits. That's one thing about Russ. Now, CP, he loves talking. So he's going to let you know the details about the game. More so like two for ones. We ran this play, you run this one, and then you come back and run that one again. Just little things to get players going, things like that. But, you know, CCP's not super athletic, but he got that up there. He got that brain. He got that knowledge. He's a wizard on the court. And he's taught me how to take care of the ball. And a lot of the things just come from me watching, just paying attention to his details, paying attention to what he does. How does he get assists? How does he get to the line? You know, things like that. Now, Russ is totally different. Russ is going to get to the line by coming at you hard.
Right.
He's going to knock you down.
He's bowling you over, yeah.
Yeah, he's going to force them to call. But CP, a little bit more strategic. He's going to, we're in the bonus. I'm going to get a foul. Knock one.
And then he just
lane.
Walks to the free throw line. I love just it when he gets that foul.
I'm like, yep, got you. I got you. So I kind of feel like they got just two different kind of ways they approach the game, look at the game, and I love both sides of it. I just like the competitive nature of Russell. He comes out every night. He's only playing with 15 guys, and that's it. And man, he got your back no matter what. And then with CP, it's just the knowledge of the game, learning, and just finding out of things that helps my game to, man, like turnovers. CP, he don't get turnovers. And it's surprising when you see him with turnovers. And I'm just trying to back that up. And that's just come from watching him play. He just picks spots. And he knows when to take chances and he knows when to fall back. And he's just great at managing the game. And I'm glad I get the opportunity to be a part of this as well. I was in the playoffs with Russ then, learned. Now I'm in the playoffs with Chris Paul. And it's going to be very fun.
You've definitely taken it even to more of an extreme. You were always good at holding onto the ball, but here you and CP are in the top 10, if not top 5, in assist to turnover ratio in the league. And that's just, I'm sure Monty preaches that all the time, and Chris Paul obviously helps, set the standard on that. But give yourself obviously a ton of credit there too, because you're not, it's easy to turn the ball over in a second unit because it gets a little haphazard with different guys you're playing with all the time. So that's huge that you've been able to do that. On that first staff, also that rookie year, you had Monty and as associate head coach, and Mark Bryant was on the team as on the coaching staff as well. What would Monty say is the biggest difference between you now and you in 2015?
My maturity. I know that if you were to ask him, 10 times out of 10, he'll just say he's growing up. He grew up a little bit. And I remember we had he called me on the phone. I was in the pool. First thing he talked about, he was like, "You remember what I talked to you about in Phoenix? I mean, in OKC, I brought you in my office." And it was crazy, man. He brought me in his office. He was just like, "You see that guy out there? It was Russ. He was working out." He was like, "You got to beat him every day." I mean, it's early. I'm talking, it's 8 a.m. He's like, "Nah, you got the talent. You're good enough, but you gotta put in some more work. You gotta lock in on your body, lock in." I ain't know at the time. I'm just like, "I got you. I'm here every day. I'm working out every day." But now I understand where he was coming from. I understand what I gotta do to be in this league and be on the team and know my role, know what the team needs from me. So I'm pretty sure he'll just say maturity because he just know I done grown up a bit.
Yeah. Do you see that in other rookies coming into the league? Same thing where, you know, it's you don't realize how difficult it is to stay in the league. And do you see that in anybody else on the – either on the Suns or on prior teams that you were on and maybe you want to give them the advice that Monty gave you?
I see. I will for sure sticks, Jalen, because I know he really wants to play, and it's just kind of unfortunate. We have a very good team. Yeah. We're pretty loaded at every position. So no one ever wants to hear, man, just be patient. Them some of the craziest words to hear. But it's true. And like for him, he just got to soak up this knowledge. No, it's kind of hard because you want to play and, you know, he probably don't feel he got to show everything he could, you know, didn't get a summer league. So it's a lot of little intangibles that come with the NBA game that he didn't get to experience. So I'll probably just say for him, man, stay patient and stay locked in. Just because one day he was on the bench, he was like, "Man, I just don't like seeing all these other rookies playing, and I ain't getting that opportunity." And I was like, "Well, you're in a unique position. A lot of teams, you don't come straight in and you're on a winning team. You don't come straight in and the culture is a winning culture. You don't come straight in and find a group of guys like us that's actually hanging with each other. And like, man, everybody's grown. It's grown men. They're going home to their families. But one thing about our team, we kind of a close-knit family. We do stuff with each other. We had dinner with each other. And, you know, we just built a great culture here. So just with him, just stay the course and just stay patient, man. Your time going to come. And, man, just keep working. Don't stop working. That's one thing. Don't stop working from just constantly hearing to be patient. Because I was a part of that. You got to actually work on your game and get better. And that's what I learned when I got out the league as well. You got to get better. Like the things that, man, you got to be able to shoot. You got to be a good shooter in this league today. And if you're not doing that, then you gotta be, and you gotta bring something to the table. If it's crazy work ethic, crazy, I'm gonna get every rebound. It gotta be something that you bring. And that was one thing, you know, Muncy also, he was like, you gotta have that one thing you bring. And that was, for me, it was, man, I gotta bring that defense every day. So just from the beginning, you know, they say pick up full court, you know, it's just, oh, y'all just want me to run because I got the legs. but nah, it's actually, you know, having energy is actually something nowadays. You gotta have that. You gotta have somebody that's gonna pick up full and just hassle the guy bringing the ball to court. I mean, it's just little things that you never think because you in college, you the guy.
Right.
You the guy on your team. And you come here and it's like, man, you got to go back now to the bottom of the totem pole and work your way back up. So just got to be patient, man, and just know everything is fine. But stay locked in.
That is interesting because his rookie year has to be similar to yours, you know, because you going in on a 55-win team. They just happen to have more of a step spot for you, or you might have been a little bit more ready as a rookie because you did get into a lot of games where Jalen hasn't. He's just had a tough opportunity.
For sure. I agree with you there.
Yeah. Okay. So then things got a little rockier for you. You got included in that trade to Chicago so they could bring in Taj Gibson. That was after you had spent a couple of months recovering on a foot issue. Mm-hmm. Do you feel like you ever really got a great shot in Chicago, or just the opportunity wasn't right for you? What do you think happened there?
I feel like I got a good opportunity. Our team just really weren't really good. And it's hard to look at a team when you're losing. It's hard to look at the guys. And I was the scapegoat because what Pax and Gardam said, that I was going to be, you know, basically the savior. Everybody just expected so many things from me and didn't really give me the solidified opportunity of really going through rough patches and mistakes and playing through those. We really weren't winning games, so nothing was right. It don't matter if we played good. It was still like, oh, okay, whatever. And you never really got that praise. Never really got that praise from the city. Never got that praise from the fans because we weren't winning as a team. So I just feel like the opportunity was there. It's just the way we were playing at the time and what was going on. Like, man, they ain't like the owner. The city didn't like the owners. They ain't like the coach. It was a whirlwind. I tried to come out there and do the best I could every night, but it wasn't enough. And also I learned through that time. I really wasn't locked in on my body, really wasn't locked in on really taking care of myself. It was just like, man, we just playing these games. I probably say I kind of got distracted with just not winning.
Yeah.
And when you're not winning, it's like you don't really be locked in on working on your game, getting better, because it's inevitable. You going home early. but now it's just a little different. I learned. It's crazy. You learn a lot. You learn a lot when you go through things and experience things. And I probably wouldn't want it any better way, for real.
Yeah, man. It's as you're saying those things. As an outsider here with the Suns, I've been following the Suns most of my life, and these last 10 years have just been so hard. As a fan watching these guys, and I feel like I'm hearing Marquese Chriss and Dragan Bender and Josh Jackson and all that in your voice when you're saying, "I got the opportunity, but the situation was just so hard." And like you said, not ever winning games, nothing was good enough when you weren't winning games. And so,
right.
Wow. So yeah, it's, I'm really happy that you got this opportunity on a team like this and were able to redeem yourself. And I hope that happens for those other guys as well in their careers, if they get their minds right and start working, you know, obviously they're, I'm sure they are starting to work as hard as you, but not everybody can, not everybody recognizes that opportunity like you did. So I'm just so impressed. Then you got to the point where you had Cleveland for a couple of 10 days and then Toronto training camp. And then I think you mentioned last summer when you signed, you were like, when Toronto released me, that was like the big wake up call.
Yeah. Right? Yeah. Because, like, my deal, I had a two-year deal, and they said they needed a guard. And I felt like I did well. I mean, I feel like I left no doubt in them. Like, I didn't play – I don't think I played really well in the preseason games, and that kind of knocked me out of there. But after they released me, man, it was just like, where do I go from here? And I kind of felt like that was my last opportunity. And the craziest thing then is, man, I felt like I tried everything I could to stay there. I did everything, went there in the summer. I did everything. I checked all the boxes and still came up short. And ever since then, it was just like, man, it's over for me. Like, I gotta play overseas. Like, that's the deal. And I gotta try to fight my way back. Cause at first, my dad was just like, well, you going to G League? And I'm like, nah, I know it's not about money, but I can't just go there and just say it's over. Like, it's just, I'm gonna play for this little amount of money. If I can play for some money overseas and get my opportunity, just get back confident with my game and play. So it was a little rough patch there. It took me a long time to get paperwork done, but it was a scary decision I had to make. But I made it. Went on to China, and it was all good.
Yeah, you played pretty well, I think, for a few games in China, and then was the season over? Is that why you came back, or
no? So the guy that was there, he was playing real good, Jamal Franklin, averaging a triple double.
Oh yeah.
So,
okay.
So it was kind of surprised when they brought me over there because they already had two American players and they were already on their B rotation, and you only get A, B, C, D rotation with the American players. And Jamal was playing good when I got there, so I was just there. I was just in China for at least a month, ain't played a game, just sitting there practicing. Mm-hmm. And I was just like, man, because I'm watching him play, I'm like, what y'all need me for? Y'all like, he hooping. They were real good at the time. They weren't a good team. They were ranked number three in their division. So they were playing well. So I was kind of confused on why they got me. And I got there and never played. I'm sitting here watching the games. I'm like, I could be at home. Y'all rushing me to do all this and I ain't even playing. So I was really just experiencing China with my girlfriend and was just really experiencing the whole thing. And they finally gave me an opportunity. Jamal had tweaked his hamstring and I got the opportunity to play. Like, I never even played at home. I ain't get to play at home. We had two road games, and that was like the toughest games on the schedule, and I'm playing. We lose the games. One of the guys, Eric Moreland, pretty sure you know him. He had got thrown out the
game. He actually signed for a few days with the Suns, too.
Oh, really?
Point. Yeah.
Yeah, that's my man. He was playing with us at the time. He was playing with me. He got thrown out the game at halftime of my first game. So we couldn't bring nobody in, so I had to play by myself. And I'm trying to see who we played at first. We played Lance Stevenson, Brandon Bass. That was my first game.
Oh.
Oh, man. He got thrown out the game. We were up big at half. He got thrown out the game. Then the game just changed. We ended up losing that game. I had cramps. I caught cramps everywhere, full body cramp during the game. Because
you hadn't been used to playing.
I ain't played in a long time. I've been drinking Cokes. I've just been chilling because I'm thinking, man, I ain't never finna play the way y'all doing it. So I end up playing. I actually played well. Like you said, I had a couple good games, and we just lost both of the games. And we were going back home, and I just kind of felt it. Like, they about to go ahead and go back with Jamal because we just lost two games.
Right, right.
So by the time we got back home, they told me like, you could stay if you want, keep you on the roster, but we're going to go back with Jamal. And they only had one more opportunity to change the lineup again. So after they made that decision, they only got one more time. So I'm like, they not using that for me. They holding that until the end. And we got at least 3 months left of basketball. So I'm like, man, I'm about to go on head back home. I got on the phone with my dad and my agent, and I was like, I can't stay out here no longer. I'm just watching these folks play too. And the food, nah, I'm coming home. I miss y'all.
Yeah. I've heard their Chinese food is nothing like our Chinese food.
It ain't what you think. It's not what you think. It's a lot different.
I've definitely heard that.
But I got on the phone with my agent. I told him, I was like, I'll play G League. I was like, only under one condition. I only play for these two teams. And like the G League has like the little, like they change every week. On like when somebody come into the pool, this team is at the top. But next week, then another team will be at the top.
Oh, so you had to wait for the right.
Yeah. So I was like, man, I want to play for either the Texas Legends or Oklahoma City. Cause I know people there. I played with Dallas in Summer League. Mm-hmm. So I was like, man, I got a good relationship with them. And OKC, I just forever have a good relationship with them. They end up making it happen. And I got on the Dallas G League team. And, I knew a lot of the players already. So I really came in like, hey, what's up, y'all? I'm back.
Right, yeah.
I'm back. Let's get this party back started and start hooping.
And you played great.
I started hooping, and my whole thing was about winning games. Like, when I got to the G League, my thing coming in was win games. And I was like, if we win, everybody get the look. I'm going to get the look, but everybody's going to get the look. And I think, man, we went on like a 8-game win streak, and then COVID happened. Man,
right.
I was like, man, I'm not going to catch a break.
Because we had no idea if whatever anything was ever coming back.
I'm like, man, I'm playing good. My goal was to go to the G League Championship and win that MVP. Like, that was my thing. I got to get to the G League to get another opportunity. I really got to do something incredible. Mm-hmm. Like, I've always played good when I played in the G League, but I had to do something more because it was more needed from me.
Right. You couldn't just do the same thing you had done before. Yeah. Had to be a lot more.
Absolutely. So I was big on just, man, making sure the team was good, making sure, man, I was the CP of my G League team. I'm coaching everybody up, trying to make sure we win every game. I was trying to make sure we won every game. And man, I did my job.
That's a big sign of maturity right there.
Yeah, I had a great time with those guys, man. We had a hell of a time, and one got sent on home, and I think the rest history.
Yeah. So you told us the story about getting the call from Monty in June, and did you have any idea that was coming at all? Anything? Any idea?
Nah, because Dallas. That's who I thought I was going to play with in the bubble, Dallas, because Jalen Brunson had hurt his shoulder or had shoulder surgery, and I was with the Legends, so I'm just knowing that's who I'm on. That's they're going to pick me up. I'm just waiting. They were coming to every game. I'm like, they're going to pick me up. They called me. They was like, we're going to go with Trey Burke. And I was just like, oh, my God. Like, that was my chance. Like, I was like right away, I was like, I got to do G League over again. Like, I got to do a training camp again and try to claw my way. Next thing you know, my agent called me. He was like, you cool with Coach Monty? I was like, yeah. He was like, all right, he's going to give you a call here in a couple hours. Just be by your phone. I was like, all right, cool. Didn't think nothing of it. Didn't think I was going to be playing with Phoenix.
Yeah.
As soon as he got on the phone, we didn't talk about basketball. So I was kind of like, what's going on? He was just like, man, do you remember the talk we had? And I was like, yeah. I was like, well, I got an opportunity for you. Are you ready? And I was like, of course I'm ready. Oh, yeah, I'm ready. I'll be there tomorrow. He was like, okay, well, you're going to get you an opportunity. I want you to come and just be yourself. Play the way you know how to play. Play the way I know you know how to play. And just have fun. And he was like, I see you tomorrow. Man, I was in the pool so fast. And I was just smiling ear to ear, talk to my parents. I was just like, man, we made it back, and I'm not getting back out until it's time.
Yeah.
And that's how I go at the days every day. I got to give it my all. Every game I got to, because I just feel like, man, even one game, it could be over. Like, you just, it's crazy to think about it like that, but it's true. You have to stay locked in and really be dedicated to this work in order to reap those benefits.
Yeah, I just saw the other day a poll on Twitter among Suns fans. They asked, like, of four different players, who's the most likely to hit a shot that you just go, whoa, I can't believe that thing went in from the way, you know, way you put it up. And you won in a landslide. The running layups and all that. This is, people love watching you play because they know you're putting every ounce of your effort into every single play. You and Javon just in the backcourt just wreaking havoc is just, it's wild to see. And so you're very much a fan favorite, and we're hoping you have a very long career in the NBA and hopefully with the Phoenix Suns.
I appreciate it. Me too. We praying on that. We praying on that.
So this year, so obviously you guys, realistically, you didn't come in thinking we're going to be the one seed in the Western Conference and the best record in the entire league. But I'm sure you had very positive feelings about this season coming into the season. What did you think was going to happen this year?
Honestly, I didn't think we were going to be number one or anything like that, but I knew we were going to be in the playoffs for sure. I feel like we've built that kind of culture. We've just built a winning culture ever since the bubble.
Yeah.
And like I said, I didn't think number one, but hey, get the cards you were dealt.
That's right, man.
Gotta
roll. You guys are treating this NBA season like you described treating the G League season last year, where it's just, I don't care who we're playing. I don't care how many guys are out. We're not going to get COVID. You know, we're going to have major COVID issues anyway, and we're just going to win every freaking game. And you guys have been doing it. And I think
one thing we do every game is, man, it's about us. It's not about the other team. And we've been like that since the bubble. It's just about us. It's about what we do. It's about how we do it. Not if it looked good. Not the way the fans want it. Just do it the way the culture is supposed to be ran. And you play selfless, hard, like, man, a lot of good things don't come out of it. And I feel like that's just the way we approach it, and it's in our favor.
So this is going to be the first playoffs for almost everybody on the team. Are you thinking about, or have you talked to the coach about giving advice to the other guys on how different the playoffs is? Or do you think it's just, you got to learn it, you got to see it to learn it for yourself? What do you think?
Honestly, I feel like you got to see it. You can talk about it, man. A lot of these players on this team have been in huge games. A lot have been in big games in some sort of way. But it's really just an experience type of thing. You know, CP, he talk about it all the time. He talk about playoffs all the time. And he talks about the experience, what goes into it. And, you know, it never – I don't think that switch going to flip until day one we get that booklet of the team we playing. Like, we can talk about it. It's going to be a crazy atmosphere. Everybody going to be playing hard. But not until game one. And you really get out there on the floor and you feel that. And you feel that. I think it's a more so experience thing instead of really just telling you about it. I don't feel like you really get it, because when they ain't been there,
yeah,
you can't put it in perspective at all.
That's like parents giving you advice. It doesn't matter until you actually experience it. You got to make your mistakes. It's exciting because you guys have the best record in the league against good teams, best record in the league against plus 500 teams, best record in the league against any slice. You guys are really doing well. And, you know, we're all hoping you guys do very well in the playoffs too. And I feel like with your focus, you can. Do you feel like you're getting as much love or attention or whatever because of the pandemic? You don't have all the coverage that, you know, is would normally be happening. You don't have the fans in the as many fans in the stands as would normally be happening. Do you guys feel like that's kind of a missed opportunity there, or do you not care at this point? You're just playing.
Honestly, I don't really feel like we care at this point. I feel like, you know, the fans, man, over social media, they're fantastic. They do a hell of a job showing us love, in which they deserve every bit of it. From what I hear, mm-hmm. you know, 10 years not being in the playoffs, it's a big deal. It's a big deal for the city, and it's huge. So like the fans doing a great job, but we don't really worry about it. I feel like the crazy thing about it, I feel like everything that we're getting has came from the bubble. Like we really took the bubble serious, and I feel like it translates into this season. It translated into this season. Everybody know what we got. Everybody know how we're supposed to play. Everybody know like what it takes. When we went out there and played nothing but plus 500 teams in the bubble, like really, really good teams in the bubble. And we seen we stacked up against them, man. We see that these teams can be beat. Like, yeah, they can be beat any given night. And we beat them dogs that's gonna go out there and play our hearts out here and every night. And everybody don't wanna see that. Everybody don't wanna see these guys running 100 miles per hour every day, every play. So man, we just try to have fun with it. And man, the fans. Man, it's damn near sold out.
Feels like it. There's a lot more jerseys than there has been for years. Even though there's less fans, almost everyone's got a jersey on. It feels like.
Yeah.
That's great. Well, no, thank you so much, man.
I appreciate it. No problem. Had a good time talking to you. Thank you for the opportunity.